All right, guys, welcome back. And I guess before we get on to the meat and potatoes of today's topic here, you guys want to go to some viewer questions or listener questions first? Or
yeah, hey, let's do it.
Talk. Okay.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, let's do that. I'll go right over here. 1 second. And the first question comes from Brandon Dunkirk. What cards are you looking forward to from Kaldheim so far, and what commander decks do you think Kaldheim will benefit?
So I am actually pretty hyped for one of the starter deck rares of all things, Lathril, Blade of the Elves. It's 4 cost, 1 green, 1 black, 2 colorless, menace. Whenever Lathril, Blade of the Elves deals combat damage to a player, create that many 1/1 green elf warrior tokens. And then you can tap 10 elves to have each opponent lose 10 life, and you gain 10 life.
Yeah,
I think it's awesome that we're getting more like green black elf support. I mean, we had the literal elf ball from Commander Legends. Now we have this. I think it's really cool that we're getting support that isn't just like, I remember for the longest time, if you wanted to play green black elves, you had to play like Nath of Guiltleaf, and
yeah,
that's not where you want to be,
right? Yeah, no, I agree with you there. You know, elf ball though, it's always going to be a thing. Another question here too: what deck slash commander would be a good starter deck slash commander to put together for beginners? I'm going to have to refer to Austin on this one too.
So, I would say for beginners starting out, if you want something, I guess we're probably just doubling back down to that Lathril, Blade of Elves again, just because there is already a lot of existing support for elves. I mean, we don't know what exactly is going to be printed in these decks, but if we see cards like Priest of Titania and Azuri. And there are plenty of other like upgrades that work well that lend themselves well to this kind of strategy. I mean, we had the flip Gaia's Cradle, growing rites of Itlamok, I think it was, where like that works really well in these kind of things.
Well, I think this is a general question. This one's a different question than the other one. This one is just what deck slash commander would be good for starters, and what deck slash commander would you put together for
players? Yeah. And I guess where I was going with that though is elves is always going to be a very starter friendly deck, I think, just because synergies are very common. They're very, you know, they're kind of spelled out for you.
I agree with that statement, because even without the format commander, I would normally give somebody a modern deck that was modern elf ball and had them learn with that, you know.
Yeah, and I think that like because those synergies are very very upfront, very easy to understand, but there's also, you know, the more you play it, the more depth there is. You kind of figure out your lines, figure out how things work. But also, it kind of gives you just a feel for a commander as a whole. Trying out, you know, taking these new cards and then going back and finding, you know, things to fill those gaps. Find old cards that support elves. And that kind of helps you get an idea for building your own commander decks later on. What kind of resources you have to find those cards. And honestly, you could pick up most like elf decks or even goblins. I think goblins is kind of a good comparison here. A lot of people play Krenko as one of like their first commander decks because those synergies are also kind of spelled out. But also you can do well with those kind of decks without having too much of an upfront investment. I think I got a buddy of mine locally that plays a Krenko deck, probably didn't put more than $50 into it, and can still keep up with the table.
Okay. So that's good info for me also. You know, I'm a beginning commander player. You know, I know it as EDH, you know, but I'm not against the word commander at all. It's the format, right? Commander. You know, even in EDH, it was a commander you're pulling out. Am I right? I think so. Right?
You got the general idea.
General. It was a general. It was a general in ADH. Yeah. I'm sorry. So yeah, you're right. It was
general. Oh, was it? Yeah. No, I've just been using them interchangeably for forever.
You got me, Austin. You're like, you got the general idea. I think it was a general. But no, I'm just now starting to become a EDH player. You know, so it's a good thing that we are addressing these kind of questions. For me, I started with a Hippo Hug deck. You know, that's what I started with. And I don't see anything wrong with that except for maybe the price point, you know, of getting into it. And then last but not least, Luna, did you want to answer that too? Or?
Yeah, so honestly, I'm not a huge Commander player. Personally, for me, it's a little bit of a slower format. But one thing I would highly suggest if you're new to the game, there are Commander pre-cons. And if you can, there's some new ones coming out here in Kaldenheim. And what I would highly suggest is essentially, if you're new to the game and you're just learning out how to play and you want to get a commander deck, go find one of these cheap $40, $50 commander pre-cons and build what you want from there. It'll give you intro. It'll also give you a nice collection. And you can just start where you want. Essentially, what's your favorite color? And let's go ahead in that direction.
That's why I love you, Luna. See, look at that, Austin. You hear that?
That was a much more upfront answer. Yeah. God, I danced around mine for like... Yeah. At least 3 minutes.
I didn't even think of that. Props to you. That's like the most basic. Yeah, that's the most basic. Like, Wizards would have paid him or her, them to say that. I'm sorry. Wizards would have paid them to say that. Yeah, Wizards would have paid y'all to say that, man. Listen. All right. So that's the last question. And let's see what else we got here. Because there is a difference. I wanted to let everybody know, too, just to make sure that we're all on the same page here, that the podcast is different than other Magic the Gathering content creators and stuff that's out there, you know? So if I was a Twitch streamer, then you guys would be able to leave comments as I'm streaming. If I was a YouTube content creator, there'd be like a bunch of comments, which we do have YouTube content. But I'm just trying to make a point here that the podcast, there's no way of leaving a comment. Now, there are a way of leaving reviews on some of the platforms like iTunes. I do know for a fact you can go over to iTunes and leave a review. We've got a couple of them over there already on the Crypto Commander. I believe last time I looked, we were at a 4.3 out of 5 stars. I think the last thing we're going to talk about is this Kaldheim set they're coming out with. There's going to be changelings, I'm hearing. There's going to be multicolored sagas. So until now, we've had monocolored sagas. Enchantments, and now we're going to have multicolored sagas. That's kind of head turning for me. I like the idea. 2 new planeswalkers. One of them is Nico of Rhys, and the other one's called Tyvar Kell. The first one we'll talk about here, Nico of Rhys, if I'm saying the name right, it says on many different websites, and stop me if I'm wrong here, but even over here at comicbook.com. It says the first non-binary planeswalker. I did do some talking with some people before this episode, and some people are on the fence about this and about that. And it's a hot topic in my opinion. And I wanted to get your opinion, guys.
I guess for me, I don't think it's the first non-binary planeswalker. Essentially not. You identify somewhere in between. You're neither. So essentially for me, it would go Ashiok would essentially be the first one. Ashiok is genderless, has no gender, doesn't identify as either, and would be non-binary. So I will say it's one of the first. And definitely there's been very few other characters. The only other non-binary I can think of would be Yhenny's. Essentially Yhenny and all the Aetherborns, they're just genderless. They're just beings of pure ether.
Right. Henny, I forgot about that one. Ashiok, when I did a Google search, was just saying that, you know, it didn't define itself as anything. And then it would go on to describe really in detail, you know, like no eyes, no mouth, and, you know, gaseous forms, kind of like Aetherus, like what you were saying, you know. And so, you know, with the way the podcast, you know, the Crypto Commander podcast, how, you know, we have a mission statement. Of, you know, so Magic the Gathering is best with a communal experience, and a big part of that's when it's stemmed from knowledge. Getting assistance where needed makes it a far more enjoyable game. Just going back to where maybe even I need assistance or some other people need assistance, understanding more of it, you know, just, you know, coming from, you know, different opinions and different aspects. I don't want to upset anybody. And just when I go look at, you know, Ashiok, when I Google Ashiok, it gave almost the same description. And when they talk about Ashiok, they're saying, you know, them, they, their, okay? Just like they are with this new character. And I don't see any problem with any of this. Matter of fact, I encourage it, you know. And I'd like to know more about it, since this is really my first time getting into understanding this. And from what I'm reading before even coming on the podcast, to get even an understanding more would be actually a good thing. So I'm in with the rest of the people that are, you know, hey, if I can just understand more, that would be a good thing. Am I right on this?
Yeah. So essentially, you can't always judge a book by its cover.
Right.
And there's so many different genders out there. And simply, if you don't know, the easiest way to ask is, what are your pronouns? You're not asking a jarring question. You're not trying to go out there and embarrass them or make them feel bad about themselves. If you just generally are interested, and it shows you have interest in that individual. And 9 times out of 10, the individual will tell you. Them is a gender neutral. It doesn't have anything to do with masculine identity or feminine identity. It's neither, and it's gender neutral at the end of the day.
Wow. That's a very good way of putting it. Wow.
I think it's awesome that this game is, you know, incredibly inclusive. I like that there is so many forms of representation in this game, because I think we all know, like, this game is a very personal experience for a lot of us. I think a lot of us have met a lot of our friends, you know, people in our lives through this. And there are even, like, people that will go out there and, like, you know, identify with, like, these characters or these colors of mana, just in what they represent. And, you know, I think it's cool that more people out there can go and see a character and be like, yeah, I can relate to that. And if more people can see themselves in this game, and more people, you know, it's a more communal experience, then I think any representation like this is good representation.
I agree with you. You know, when I look at Magic, I consider myself a blue player. And at the beginning with Lorwyn, the Planeswalkers, when they came out there, I said, Jace, you know, I think the best one was Garruk at the time, but Jace, you know, don't get me wrong, the Liliana Vest was good too, but the Jace one was the one I picked out because I identified as a blue player, and I didn't even play with it at first, but then when I was starting to get better and getting better decks built, I would throw that Jace in there. Then they came out with a better Jace, and then just 1 year ago, with, you know, what, this year, War of the Spark came out this year, wasn't it, 2020?
I think that was 2019.
Okay, so yeah, last year, with War of the Spark came out, there was a rumor developing that they're going to kill off Jace and replace it with Teferi. And there's still a rumor here and there about it, you know. I can't confirm nor deny that rumor. And that's not where I'm going with this. Where I'm going with this is I can, you know, learn more about Jace, and it makes me want to learn more about Jace. And throughout the years, I have done that. And now the Teferi, if they are moving him into Mono Blue and just keeping him there in Mono Blue and making him the Blue Planeswalker and, you know, theoretically making this Nico character a Blue-White Planeswalker, right? We don't know what colors or shard it's going to be in, right?
I know we know Blue for sure.
Okay.
I don't know if it's going to, or, you know, if they are, I don't know if the card is going to be Mono Blue.
When I'm looking at the ability, yes, so far it looks like it's going to be a blue leaning Planeswalker. Essentially, they're a Javelinier that's been searching perfection through knowledge is what blue is. But this one is more of searching perfection through a practice and of just trying to be the best Javelinier ever, the best, always practicing, always searching to become a better Javelinier. I guess for me, though, the ability, the fact that they're pretty much a mirror mage, they can make these mirrors and trap people in them, or they can throw them as weapons. I feel that'd be more of a white mechanic, the fact of exiling, but I can see freezing, but they don't have anything to do with ice magic. It's more of this mirror magic.
Yeah.
So as far as perfection through knowledge, I can understand as an athlete always striving to be better and the person that they are. But for me, I feel like the ability is more of a white mechanic.
And it could go the other way and make it a blue-red planeswalker too. But, you know, we'll have to see. And to me, I agree with you, Luna. I do believe it might be a blue-white planeswalker, is why I used the reference of Azorius just a second ago, which is blue-white. Azorius is blue-white. And the other one, too, is Tyvar Kell. If we know anything about this one, I think we do have a description here somewhere on it. Do you want to pull that one up, Luna? Tyvar Kell or no?
Yeah, just give me a second. I know he's an elf elf royal, and he's like connection with the ley lines in a different way. I mean, like I said, he's part of a royal family, and he's a younger brother. Let me go ahead and pull up the article if I can find it.
Oh, that'll be interesting. Ley line interaction.
Yeah. So not trying to read a whole essay about him, but right here. Yeah. MTG Wiki, I got it. Yeah. He's a younger brother of a king. He is confident, charismatic, pale-skinned wood elf. So yeah, wood elf would have more to deal with the ley lines, nature, and nurture. Masculine frame. He has some instinctive tattoos, which that is interesting, of the cosmic serpent, which I know something about the tree of life is going to be over there in Kaldenheim. Let me try to read a little bit further into this.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. Oh, go ahead.
He has the ability to transmute natural substances into his own body. So essentially be like he'd be grabbing this branch and then putting some shield on him. Or maybe he can manipulate a rock and then make his fist really hard or add different body armor. So it'd be interesting how he goes into this ability. But it's normally elves definitely are green at their base. Because he can use close by natural materials and he can use his environment to his advantage in combat, which was really interesting. So yeah, he says inverse cool molten rock into a solid or make nettle sprouts into the ground beneath his foes. So essentially he can just manipulate nature.
Yeah, sounds green too, you know.
Very green.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're actually going to get another color on top of that.
Yeah. It's just green. Yeah. And what are they trying to do? Replace Garruk also? I mean, I don't know. They want to.
Yeah, we just got him back. We just got him back.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's one thing I really like to check out. So there's something, the magic, the color wheel theory, and what is essentially goes into depth about what each color is in magic. And you can also read and try to do like a personality quiz. You can find out. So like white is peace through order. Blue is perfection through knowledge. Black is satisfaction through ruthlessness. Red is freedom through action. And green is harmony through acceptance. So yeah, I believe just going off these bases, he's green. He's going with nature. He's harmony within his royal family. He doesn't have any problem with his brother taking the role. He's fine stepping back and he works with the elves.
Yeah, he ain't got a problem stepping back, you know. Hashtag justice for Garruk.
You know what we didn't talk about?
Yeah.
Tybalt's back.
Yeah.
You know?
Tybalt. Yeah, well, I saw that. They got a little image of it in him in the corner, you know, a little booster pack, and I was like,
oh yeah. No, he made the trailer. He's
definitely in there, huh?
Yeah.
That trailer was definitely amazing. As I'm listening to it, wait a minute, is this Loki? Oh no, it's Tybalt. Oh wait, wow,
he's in the trailer.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's,
no.
He's talking over all these stuff that's going on in Kaldenheim, and the very end, there's this great weapon that he's talking about using it in a chaotic matter, essentially.
Watch, he's going to turn out to be like a 3-drop with like only minus abilities, and
oh man, wouldn't it be cool if they gave him the ability? I can speculate, right? Giving him Gideon Jiria's ability where he turned into a creature, you know?
I mean, maybe. I think if we're going to see him, I think most of the design space he's going to take up is going to be, you know, red or maybe even red-black.
But... definitely see a red-black for this one. He's essentially doing something out of selfishness, something to achieve his own gains. Yeah, he started over in Innistrad where he was somebody manipulating with individuals. He had some demon friends, and through his mutation and science of surgery, he eventually became a demon himself and planeswalked. His first card was very unpopular, the first two mana planeswalker. And then his newer one, where he just made some devil tokens, it was pretty good, especially since it couldn't cause life gain. So as far as him having the addition of the Gideon, I don't know, since our first god we saw of Kaldenheim, it's a god, or you can play it as an enchantment. So I'm very curious what kind of attachments this has. It is pure speculation at this point. For me personally, I feel like they're going to stick with either his original, where it's a random draw discard, or he's just going to be making some tokens, because planeswalkers need to be able to interact with the board, have a way to defend themselves, and then something to be able to change the overall escape of the game.
Yeah, it's about, I mean, the first time I ever experienced him was the bad one, you know. My buddy, he was all into red, and I brought him over, and he's like, okay, I'll try it. And he looked at the first ability. He's like, why would you want to? Why would you want to? Plus up one and do a card disadvantage, you know? And I'm like, I don't know, man. Doesn't he seem cool? You know, he's like $2, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he does everything you want red to do. The unfortunate side is it's most of the negatives that red does.
Yeah, it was really bad planeswalker, man. I think it was the first bad planeswalker I ever seen.
He enables Mox Amber. That's something.
Wait, did he?
Yeah, because planeswalkers are legendary now.
Yeah, with the Dominaria rule change.
Yeah.
So you can use it as kind of like a like a pseudo like resilient enabler for Mox Amber. I don't know what you're doing with that mana. I don't know what you're like doing with any of that advantage. Maybe there's a mono red prison deck that does that, but why? Why would you do that to yourself?
Oh, Austin. Oh man. I have no idea anymore, guys. I have no idea anymore.
Okay, hear me out. We Simeon Spirit Guide into turn one Tybalt. Play that Mox Amber. I don't know what we do after that, but
you just have red mana.
Yeah. You have red. You hold up that turn one Bolt, but like you're also down three cards. But this is fine. It's fine.
I guess one speculation, I really hope they do something with Odin. I know they're talking about the Tree of Life, but like going to Norse mythology, and I'm loving these frames. Like I kind of want to get some of the cards just for the frames. But I really am curious what kind of other gods they're going to bring out. Cause like, might they do Thor with, a thundering god. And then they also, we've had what, and then with, like I said, Odin, I really want to see something with that, like giving other gods a buff or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself too. There was another viewer question or the listener question a minute ago, you know, what sets you're looking forward to, in 2021. And, you know, going back on that too, the Dungeons and Dragons set that's coming out, Forgotten Realms. I think there's going to be more, you know, stuff in there like dwarves and rangers and stuff like that, you know, that coincide with Dungeons and Dragons, and which just goes with this set. You know, I understand they're going with a cold theme. They're going with metal, you know, with all the bands like Mastodon and all the other bands that are promoting it, you know. But just like the last set, Zendikar Rising, where they've got the party mechanic, where you got a rogue, a cleric, you know? I mean, it makes sense yet, you know, where it's all going to go together, and you're going to be like, oh, yeah, there was a cleric card back in Zendikar Rising that'll go good with this deck that's, you know, just like what we're looking at, Throne of Eldraine right now. You know, Throne of Eldraine is one of those sets that's going to rotate out when we get the new set, right? So we forget sometimes that there's cards in that set we can put in our decks. You know, I'm talking for the beginning players out there. You know, I'm trying to help these guys out and these girls out. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I was surprised is they didn't hold that party mechanic off until Dungeons & Dragons set. That generally surprised me because we always had allies with associated over there in Zendikar. So it was a new spice, but I was surprised it didn't hold off for the Dungeons and Dragons.
I agree.
As far as the new sets coming out, I guess we have Kaladinheim, the Time Spiraled Remaster that'll be on Arena, Strixhaven, School of Mages. We have the Dungeons and Dragons, Forgotten Realms, Modern Horizons 2, and then we have a Innistrad Werewolves and Innistrad Vampires. Yeah. I guess for me, what I'm most looking forward to is the Innistrad Werewolves and Innistrad Vampires, the fact that we're going back to a two sets for one plane. For a while, we had blocks where we were doing three sets for one plane. And for quite in recent memory, we haven't gone to two sets in a long time. So I'm looking forward to that. Everything else sounds really spicy, like Modern Horizons 2 might bring back fetches. But for me, the fact that we're going to have some flip cards and we're going to have vampires and werewolves, and we might even have Emrakul coming out of the moon. She did it to herself, so you never know.
That's right. Can't forget about that flavor, you know, the storylines and stuff. I agree with you, Luna. You know, the sets are amazing. You know, the artwork's amazing with the framework you're talking about. You know, like the mythic rare you're talking about, right? With the sword on one side and the god on the other. I do like that. It reminds me of the masterpieces they come out with, you know, where you can hardly read the... What does it say? It says Armageddon. Like, how's that Armageddon? You know? You know what I'm talking about, where they look like masterpieces. But if you look closely, too, you see the heads of the Viking ship. You know where they had the animal on the front of the Viking ship?
Yeah. So I really do like this. It's just this art frame. Yeah, they have, like, the two dragons on the mm-hmm. sides, and they have right. the carvings that look like kind of Norse art. It's just it's something that's different, and it definitely has spice when you're going to this Viking realm.
Yeah, and when you said Norse mythology a minute ago with Odin, you know, that brought me back to when I grew up, my parents were playing Dungeons and Dragons a lot. And in 1993, I was getting into Magic the Gathering. I knew about Dungeons and Dragons. You know, I dibble-dabbled that in a little bit. But I leaned toward Magic the Gathering, you know. And they weren't completely different, except for one's a card game. You know, and you kind of use your imagination a little bit. You know, not much, but a little bit. And Dungeons and Dragons, a different game altogether, but... You know, ultimately, at the end of the day, now the same company owns both of them, right?
Yeah, if I remember correctly, Richard Garfield based a lot of stuff off Dungeons and Dragons, and actually Counterspell. Originally, it was going to be Counterspell, Aim, Destroy, Enchantment, but then through playtesting, they realized that was too strong, and that came directly from Dungeons and Dragons at the time, if I remember correctly.
Wow, I didn't even know that. But yeah, I'm looking forward to some more cards getting spoiled this week and next week, as far as this Kaldheim's concerned, and I can't wait to take the listeners on a journey with us as we reveal some of these and talk about them. And, you know, get a hold of us over at the Facebook group, The Cryptic Commander. And don't forget, too, that we partnered up with Magic the Gathering Players Group, which is another Facebook group, which has a big Discord that I'm in all the time. So if you want to catch me any day of the week, I'm usually on there between the hours of 12 and 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. And a lot of the times I'm in the voice chat, so if you want to come over there and hang out with me and the rest of the gang, feel free to do so. Is there anything you guys wanted to add?
I guess I really do appreciate you having me on the channel. I had a lot of fun. You talked about one of the things that I love the most in the world, Magic the Gathering. I would rather play Magic than any other game, so I really appreciate you having me on here to talk about that. And if you ever want me back, just let me know.
Luna, I really appreciate you for all the hard work that you do behind the scenes that the listeners don't even see and the viewers don't even see. You know, we all appreciate your work. And, you know, during this time of the year, we're what, 6 days away from Christmas? You know, we really appreciate you coming, you know, taking a step forward from behind the scenes to in the scenes and working with us on today's episode. And
well, you're welcome. Thank you.
As always, Austin, too, thank you for being the co-host. And I know we got 6 days till Christmas. I want to let the listeners go right now. Thanks, everybody, for making this possible. This is the 51st episode. We're looking for the 52nd episode, which this is a weekly podcast, and we're going to have the 52nd episode here done. let me reword this a little bit differently here. Hold on. What I wanted to do was next Saturday, I want to do a recap of the year that was 2020. So almost everything we've covered in the podcast, news-wise, we were just going to wrap that up into a podcast. And me and Austin touch base on that, whatever else is prevalent in the news at the time, too. and make it kind of like a New Year special, if you will. But let us know what you think over the Facebook group, The Cryptic Commander. And also check us out over on YouTube under the same name, The Cryptic Commander. And we appreciate the fact that you guys are sharing the podcast. We really do appreciate that. But until next time, keep spell slinging.